Hello, honey, and welcome to Honey Do Me Podcast. I'm Cass.
And I'm Emma, and we're just two gals looking for a good lay.
Aren't we all? But when it comes to sex, we're just as lost as you and have no idea what we're doing.
Luckily, we will stop at nothing to get the answers we need. Cue our expert guests.
We're ready to overshare and ask all the embarrassing questions so you don't have to.
By the end of every episode, you will be dripping in actionable steps and ready to take on the damn world.
Or at least take it from behind.
So tell us, honey, how do you do you?
Is on my nail.
You got them done.
It's plastic.
It's paint. You paid a lot of money for them.
I do a very fancy nails. Do you
remember?
Do you remember? I have pointy, milky white nails with gold stars and gems, and yeah. I've never felt more like myself.
I'm actually really jealous of your nails.
Really?
Yeah, they're great. They look great. Well, I've told you how pretty they are for the last like 5 days.
I know.
They're beautiful.
We go to the same nail person. You can get them too.
I know. Mine
you should get them
so
for my wedding.
Short. Let's just have the same nails for your wedding. Also, what
good.
Shoes are you wearing and what's your dress scheme?
Oh, that would be good. I should send you just a link to my dress.
Give
maybe.
Me your dress, like a little example of the fabric.
Oh,
and
yeah,
I'll just
a little fabric sample. Okay. Yeah.
Mm-hmm, like
perfect.
You used to do for prom with ties.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll make sure you get your corsage and everything. What if I did corsages instead of bouquets?
Also, can we have a prom court at your wedding?
Yeah, and you're going to win
prom
queen.
Can I be on it?
Emma won prom queen.
I just don't know if we've said it enough that I won prom queen.
I will say this. I remember the first time you told that story on the podcast, it was immediately after saying you don't think you were very cool in high school.
Oh my God.
And
I fucking know. You don't think I shot myself in the foot like for that so much? Like I was like, you stupid bitch. Like,
at that time, we had around 150 listeners, yeah. My mom being our most consistent. And she called me and she's like, was that a joke?
Was that a joke? Because it sounded like a dumbass bitch thing to say.
I God. Think that was so funny.
Well, and the backstory, which I've already said before, is because my entire soccer team rigged it.
Mm.
And that's
so it was a joke.
Majority why I was. So it was a joke. But I think that's why I didn't take it seriously and why I didn't find an issue with saying
with those things back to back. I like wasn't very popular.
And so when I was wearing my crown in front of the prom,
it did feel a little uncomfy.
I was uncomfortable in my body.
I wasn't in my jersey, yeah. You know, where I felt the most safe, my basketball shorts and my Jordans.
My
and
Jordan.
It's just like,
because I'm
don't
a
know.
Guy's girl.
I'm a guy's girl.
And, you know, they just don't get it. They mm-hmm. don't get it.
Bad bitch genre. Not everybody fits in the bad bitch genre.
Everybody fits. So here's to say I'm growing. I'm learning. And I will never bookend those again.
Speaking of learning and growing, how are you and what did you do at work today?
I yelled tits really loud.
Really loud.
So Cass and I, my work is totally cool with me taking Honey Do Me meetings in the middle of work, which is awesome. But that I'm the receptionist, so I am in the center of the office.
You are
no
the
walls.
Epicenter.
No walls at all. And we were in the middle of a meeting, and I was like, yeah, and my tits were out, you know, as you say, in the middle.
In the middle of a professional
meeting
with a very professional person that we love very much.
But like our professional for this podcast, I can say my tits are out.
Mm-hmm.
Professional for a biotech company, they would prefer their receptionist not say their tits are out,
but
or
like,
see scientists come running.
They're just booking it
I heard
down
tits
the
were
hall.
Out
excuse me, I need to do a little more research out here. I'm taking a quick poll: whose tits and how many?
Whose tits and how many?
Just the left one. Just give me the left one.
Just give me the left one. I'm sure I could service it.
And yeah, so it was a great day at work for Em.
Oh God, it was so silly. Yeah, how was your day?
It was fine.
It was fine.
I work from home. I have the same day every day.
You made a lot of really good TikToks today.
I did. If you don't follow us on TikTok, you should.
You should.
And more importantly, if you aren't watching our episodes on YouTube, you absolutely should be because we're so fun to look at.
Mm-hmm.
And if TikTok has taught us anything, it's that people love to watch us.
I mean, was I supposed to teach me something else? Like,
I mean, I was prom queen.
I've got an inflated ego, but I think it's correct.
But really, our YouTube is very fun. Mm-hmm. You get to see our guests, and our guests are all amazing, and they have great mannerisms as well and show right. us cool things. And yeah, and then we'll have some YouTube exclusive content coming very soon.
Very soon.
Very soon.
And quick tips. Like, yes. obviously, if you love these episodes, that's fantastic. And if you forget the like very specifics that come from mm-hmm. it, we're going to upload those as
exactly.
well for like so. Little shorts. So.
It's going to be a good spot. If
and I'm
any...
going to be in little shorts.
And I'm going to be in little shorts. So I'll see you there.
I'll see you there. I hope you're wearing little shorts. Yum.
Tall drink of water.
Tall drink of water. I think I said that to someone at a restaurant this weekend.
Happy for you. Speaking of being a tall drink of water, uh-huh. our guest yes. today.
Oh, my God.
Danica. She's so cool.
She is so cool.
So Danica is a sex worker. She's a dancer. She's also a lecturer, a podcast host, a superstar,
a superstar.
A goddess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Beautiful,
she's so
intelligent.
Cool. Yeah. What are we talking about?
We're talking about the power and the art of seduction.
The power and the art,
and the art push. Of my pussy cheeks. Which, I mean, if you get to that point, then you did use seduction mm-hmm. correctly.
Yeah.
But you need to know how to use it, mm-hmm. how to walk.
How to use those pussy cheeks.
How to use those pussy cheeks. But yeah, like if you've ever wondered how to walk in with confidence or how yeah. to stand and look open and confident without being aloof. That's my problem. Mm, that's what I talked to Danica about.
That's a good
word. Is like being aloof, because that's where I think my seduction power comes
that's where
from.
My power comes from.
By making you feel like I don't look at you.
But really, then nobody likes me.
Nobody likes me. Because who wants to talk to someone that looks like they don't want to talk to you?
Who wants to talk to a cunt?
Who wants to talk to a cunt?
Like, I'm sorry. Do I think that my resting bitch face is inviting?
Is inviting?
No. And then I go home and I'm like, why did nobody hit on me? And I know I have a partner. Shut up.
Shut up. That's obviously not what we're talking about.
Yeah. God. I'm a person outside of my relationship.
I'm allowed to hit on and get hit on and have sex with whomever I want. I'm just saying.
I don't know. It's just called being a strong woman. And I don't
apologize for that.
I don't need your shit. I don't apologize.
I don't need your shit. But yes, if you ever...
The point is,
if you ever needed specifics on how to embody mm-hmm. seduction, and then also what to say.
Yes, mm-hmm. how to say it, what to do with your eyes, what to think.
What to do with your eyes, that mm-hmm. was a good one. I've been practicing her tips, and do
oh,
I
yeah?
do it wrong?
Yeah.
Yeah, I do.
Do people think I have a little eye spasm?
Yeah, they
yes,
do.
Yes, a neck twitch.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. But I'm working.
Honestly, it takes practice. Not for me, because I was like born a confident bad bitch.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I've never walked into a room that I didn't fucking own.
Why did we do?
We did the exact same infliction.
Well, and we didn't even, that wasn't even an accent. That was like one of those toys that you like flick around. You know what I mean? You get it, right?
I know
those,
exactly
like,
what you're talking
things.
About.
yeah.
How did we? I don't know.
Sorry.
I don't know. Maybe we should like check in.
Maybe I told Cass about this thing that happens to me, like in my arm the other day. And she just paused. She's like, promise me you'll bring that up to your doctor next time.
Okay. Can I say specifically what it was? Because yeah. maybe somebody will reach out and be like, oh my God, yeah, that's totally normal.
Yeah.
You know what I'm going to tell that person? Also tell
you
your doctor.
Talk to your doctor.
Emma said she gets an itch.
I get an itchy worm in my arm.
And it goes to her heart.
I feel it. So it's like where the center of my elbow itches.
Yeah.
But like when you try to itch it, you can't. Like there's no itch there. It's deep inside and I feel it like up into my chest.
Yeah.
And that. yeah. I stand by
That's
what
it.
I said. I also described it as an itchy worm. And she's like. Yeah,
because I was sleeping next to her at the time.
Sounds intimate.
Yeah.
Well, we trade off. I said she could sleep with whoever she wants.
And
she does.
I do what I do. Cass does Emma.
Cass does Emma. And we report on it. But if anyone else has an itchy worm in their elbow that leads to their heart, let me know.
DM a girl.
DM a bitch. Would ya? Fuck.
Seduce me with your worm.
With your
worm. We can make our worms kiss. Where would you have them kiss from, your heart or your elbow?
I don't know.
Where's the head?
The head of the worm? It would probably be in my elbow, and then its tail is flicking my heart where it's itchy.
All right.
Have I seduced you all?
I'm seduced. Thoroughly seduced. Let's see if Danica can do an even better job. I doubt it.
I doubt it. Beat that, Danica.
We'll see you on the other side.
Hope. Bye.
Bye.
Yeah. My stage name is Danica Darling, but it's now morphing to 500 other names as the years go by and I switched up and I get sick of Danica. I'm a sex worker, predominantly an exotic dancer. I do private parties, a bit of cam and OnlyFans. I dom as well. And then I teach lap dance workshops and I guest lecture at a local university on sex work legality in Canada. So pretty much all of my life somehow has become about sex and sexuality, which I love. I love it. And then I also host a podcast called 50 Plus a Tip, which is about sex work and sexuality as well.
We love it. And honestly, having your life revolve around sex and sex work, I've had fun.
Yeah.
It's been a good time for me. So yeah.
There are worse vices.
Yeah, exactly. How did you get into your work and being in this realm?
Yeah, so I originally was actually up in Fort Mac, Alberta. I don't know where you guys are located, but if you guys are familiar with Alberta, oil rigs back in the day were really, really good money. So my partner at the time wanted to go be a rig pig, and I was like, love that for you. Make us the shmoney. And his cousin was working at a strip club as a server or a bartending manager at the time. And she was like, it's really good money serving at the strip club in Fort Mac. It's the only place really to go out here. All the rig pigs come in. I'm like, love what I'm hearing. Let's do that.
Yes, I'm in. I'm writing this down. Here. Yep.
Yeah, exactly. So I started serving out there. This is 8 years ago now. 8 years ago now. But I'm forever 21 if any clients are listening. Yeah. And I made really good money. It was really, really stupid money out there. And you're already really wearing like skimpy little skirts and stuff. And I danced competitively my whole life. So one of my bosses was like, you know, if you're comfortable being naked, you're comfortable dancing, you get on with the dancers really well, you want to make more money, you should start stripping. And I was like, I should start stripping.
Like, absolutely, I fucking should.
100%. So yeah, and I just have never looked back. I've pretty much been going full time since then. I think I had like maybe like a 6 month period here or there where I took some time off and like did more like private party stuff. But yeah, I've been stripping for freaking like 8 years now.
Get your shmoney, man. I love really? It. Truly.
You're doing so many things. That's so amazing. Mm-hmm. Like, oh my God. What even like, and then you said guest lecturing too. I was like, holy shit. Like before that was so many things. Like, oh my God.
Adding in the scholarly
on top too.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. No, I don't like to be, I think that's what makes me good for my job too. Is I'm, mm-hmm. I have a very much hustler's mentality. I always have my whole life. Even when I was going to university, I was going to university full-time, and then I was working at a full-time job, and I was volunteering with two different organizations. Like, I was always, like, going.
Yeah.
I think that's just, like, yeah, one on par with being a stripper, too. You're just always kind of, like, hustling and finding new ways to never sleep at night.
Mm-hmm. So. Totally.
Exactly. And so on par with probably being a successful stripper is making people feel like there's a connection and making them feel seen. So in that same vein, we want to talk about like seducing someone and maybe what that means. And if you could give us a definition of what it means to seduce.
Ooh, the definition of seducing someone. I think there's so many different levels of seduction. Like mm-hmm. there's the physical aspect, the mental aspect, the emotional aspect. And I think the best way is to hit all of them. But it's funny enough, I was actually with a guy friend of mine today, and this guy sent me this huge paragraph. He's like, can you promise me I'll never become this obsessed with you? And I was like, I can't promise.
I simply cannot say that won't happen.
You probably will fall madly in love.
Sorry, not sorry.
Yeah, truly. That sounds like a you problem. But no, yeah, I think it's the art of seduction. I think it's this ability to have people just drawn to you and want to be in your presence. And whether that is like solely on a physical, emotional, or mental level, ideally it's all the levels. But I think that's kind of the basic principle of seduction, is trying to just have that magnetism to you that brings people in.
So that sounds like it can take place like outside of a sexual like situation as well. Like that's like you're just seducing life.
Yeah, I think like – Well, I was speaking at a woman's workshop a while back, and I was talking about how, like, everything women do is sexy. Like, you can, like, pick up trash and it'd be sexy, and, like, and sell trash. Like, there's women on TikTok selling their garbage for money, right? Like, you could bite into an apple and it's sexy. Like, there's such a way that you can, like, seduce life. And it's really not for anyone else besides yourself. Just living in that, like, seductress mindset is very, like, sexy. And I think a lot of times women's society, the way we view female sexuality, it's for the consumption of other people, which is a shame, because there's a lot to be said for just being wholly in your own sexuality as a woman and loving that for yourself without it being a product of for other people.
Can seduction then be solely for yourself? Like, is that act of being like a seductive person, is that for other people or is that for yourself?
Yeah, I think it depends on the intention you have. Like, sometimes, like, I'm flirtatious just because it makes me feel good to be flirtatious, right? Like, it makes me feel good to be wanted. Like, and that's, like, my selfish way of wanting it. And then sometimes I do it because I want them to feel wanted, right? So I think there is that kind of, like, two-sided coin on that. Where it can go both ways.
I feel like for myself at the gym when I'm feeling, like, extra spicy or maybe I feel really good that day, I'll, like, turn on whatever playlist makes me feel kind of, like, bad bitchy. And then that, like, seductive energy is for myself because it, like, helps motivate me. And then I'm not really thinking about anything else besides, like, everyone just wants to know me. You know? So I guess that in itself is also, like, kind of, like,
I am so magnetic.
I'm so fucking magnetic. But I start, like, seducing myself in that way. I'm just like, wow. You're pretty.
I'm getting turned on.
Give us a moment. Give us a warning.
I'm going to need to go.
I have to leave.
I'll turn off my camera. Give you guys a moment.
But I guess, yeah, that in that way, it can be kind of for yourself too, which is interesting.
So, yeah, I think so. Why not? Then get everything else.
Exactly. I want to get into those three different aspects that you talk about. So the physical, emotional, and then what was the, you said mental? Okay. Can you start to break those down a little bit and how, you know, I'm not somebody who considers myself a very, like, seductive or sexy person that, like, feels uncomfortable for me, but I want to be. So, like, how do I start, you know, trying to be that in all of those areas?
Well. For me, honestly, like, my basic starting point is, like, the way I walk. And I remember, like, an ex of mine one time, we were walking up these stairs. He's like, do you always have to walk like that? And he's a dick. He's long gone now.
Sounds like a dick.
This is when I was younger and picked very bad men. But he was like, do you always have to walk like that? And I was like, I don't know, what, with my legs? What the fuck you talking about? And he's like, you walk like a fucking stripper. I'm like, okay, so, like, confidently, with pizzazz, sexy, making you want to pay me and give me money? Like, what is this walk?
I'm sorry, where's the fucking problem?
Yeah.
It narrowed down for me. But I do, like, I do sway my hips a lot when I walk. I walk in, like, a straight line. And there's power to having a really good walk, I find, that really can bring attention to you and command a room. So, like, when I teach my lap dance workshop, it's one of the first things I do is, like, we're going to go over the basics of just a good walk and the different types of walks you can do and the energy they're giving in those walks. And it sounds so silly, but when you actually break down a sexy walk and you really own it, you can, like, feel yourself and, like, fuck yeah. Like, you in the gym, I am that bad bitch. Like, I own this fucking realm. So I think that, and then that also comes with people looking at you, be like, they're confident in themselves. And confidence is extremely sexy, whatever gender you identify with, like, is a very sexy thing to own who you are. And I think a walk can really tell people that you own that. So I think that's, like, just a basic starting point, just having, like, good walk and, like, having your head up high. And then just the ways you cast your eyes. There's so much power in, like, an eye cast and, like, the way you – so, like, when I do a dance, there's a certain way I look at a person's face where, like, the points I hit on their face and then down and back up with, like, your downcast eyes. It's like, I'm very, like, strategic in, like, the way I position certain things. I think it's because I have, like, 2 degrees in psychology and I'm, like, I could, like, you know, I make it more of a science. I think it's fun and it makes my brain work a little more. But I think those basic little things are, like, tiny ways that you're seducing people without even them picking up on it. It's, like, that, like, subliminal seduction that people, like, are like, damn, like, I don't know why I'm pulled to that person, but there's something about the way they enter that room, the way they cast their eyes, the way, you know, like, it's those little things.
So I would love to know more about the walk. Do you, like, show it anywhere? Because that would be really cool if you had room. I would love to see it. But that just, like, I know what you mean, and I guess I've always seen that in other people. I'm like, oh my God, they just walk like they own the damn mm-hmm. world, and like I'm drawn to them, but I don't know how to like physically move and like what I'm focusing on with a walk. So if you had an example that you wanted to show or specifics, feel free.
Yeah. I don't have video of me just walking around my home, but
fair, you just existing.
Yeah.
No, I do actually somewhere. When I do the lap dance workshop the last 2 years, it's been online. So I do have like a video of me doing the walk and the class is recorded. So that is somewhere out there in the universe. But just like simple things. Like yes, like being loose, keeping like there's like a way that you can like move your shoulders in a very slight way that's like the opposite of the way you're moving your hips that makes this like really nice curve in your body as you're doing it. I always, if I'm wearing my heels at work, I will cross my feet more, like instead of just being like in front of each other, I'll cross them a little more. And then that pulls your hip back more too. So like as, it's going to look really weird on the video, but like as you're walking, this hip goes this way and then this hip gets pulled forward. So it's like this like fluid, watery movement of hip. So everything should be like fluid, right? Mm-hmm. So that's a big thing. Keeping your chin up. When I walk around the club, I am not some, my hustle, I don't approach tables, which people are always joke like, you're so lazy. I'm like, trust, I make my money. Yeah. Like, trust, I make my money. Like, this hustle works for me. I will walk around the room. I'll do one lap with that kind of walk where I'm not really giving people attention and I have my head up and I'm just kind of like looking down at them as I walk by. And then I have certain perches in the club that I perch at and I like lean onto the thing and I wait and then I wait for them to come to me. And I find like that hustle works really well for me. Mm-hmm. Kind of like, I don't have time. Like you can come and offer yeah. me your money. Uh-huh. But it works for me. It's not for everyone. Some girls, they go up every table, they make bank. That's their hustle. Good for them. That's never been my hustle. I find it exhausting. I'd rather get all the yeses coming to me than taking all the no's.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Not that anyone would say no.
Not that anyone ever has or will, but.
but yeah, just, yeah, the biggest thing is, one, knowing how to walk in heels. If you don't know how to walk in heels, start with a wedge. Pleasers, if you want to start actually dancing like or working like stripper heels, Pleasers are a great brand. If you guys know what Pleasers are, yeah?
Mm-mm. Yes, please. We love visuals.
I honestly probably have like 80.
Oh my God.
It's a problem. I left my really nice ones. I have like these like up to my vagina black or red latex boots that are like laced up the back that are
cool.
They're back in my locker right now. Okay, basic stripper, right? These ones are very low. Mm-hmm. These are low for a stripper heel.
Okay.
They're low. These are really good if you want to cut them down to here and do like an ankle boot. So like an ankle boot like this are a really good starting point for women that are or men or anyone gender identifying. Who want to try in heels because they have the ankle support that's really nice for a lot of people. And then if you are wanting to venture more, this is your pretty classic pump. This height is pretty standard. Stripper height, 7 inches. That's like what you want to aim for.
This that's always what I want to aim for, 7 inches.
Right? Yeah. Well, it's 7 inches less, yes. And then, yeah, these ones are the most comfy on the feet because they are not the plastic. They're like a like almost like a leathery one mat.
Okay.
These bad boys are good too if you want to flip, take your heel off and on because they don't lock on. But these ones are harder if you're not as experienced in heels because they don't have the ankle support and they fly off easy. Once you graduate to like your higher heels, you can like this.
Those should be your wedding shoes, Cass.
Oh my God, those are amazing.
They cost way too much money, and I never wear them. But they're fun. They're glittery.
They're like a piece of art, though. So you can just have them sitting there, and that's fine. You invest in art.
Yes.
Yeah.
But you're like a Warhol.
Exactly.
And then you get all the fun different ones. But definitely the lower heel with the ankle support is like good for starting out. So knowing how to walk in heels, when I'm at the club, we call it a veteran dancer, which is like not the most flattering term, but anyway, I'm a veteran dancer. So like I can tell a baby stripper from right away because the way she walks her heels and she looks like Bambi. And it's very able to watch. But knowing how to walk in a heel, knowing how to walk where you're crossing your legs over slightly and pulling your hip forward, And then just, keeping your head up.
Does that just come from practice, being able to walk in heels? I remember I have this very vivid memory of Tyra Banks saying something about if you bend your knees too much, that means you can't walk in heels.
Huh.
And I don't know, I've held that with me. So, like, how do you learn to walk in heels?
You take me back now. Yeah. I think partly is being very aware of your body. I think that's anything. Like, even if you're going to become, like, a dancer, being aware of how your body looks to an audience is huge. So, like, having years of dancing in front of mirrors as you practice, you get really good at being in your body, knowing how you move, how it will look from each angle of the audience. Mm-hmm. So, like, I think that's partly being very aware of in your body and how your body moves. And that's a huge thing, having good balance so you're not bending your legs, because a lot of people don't know how to bounce. Heels will bend their legs for, like, because they're unstable, right? So, having good balance, knowing how your body looks, knowing how to move in your body. I think just practicing it, right? Like, walk around your house in heels. There are telltale signs, like bending the knees and putting too much weight in the back or too much weight in the front. And you should be putting more weight in the balls of your feet. But, like, yeah, just knowing how to balance your weight in the heel, right?
Right.
Okay. But, and then I also, too, like, another move I like when I'm walking in heels is, like, So I have two different walks. One is like the power bitch walk, mm-hmm. which is like fast, and I kind of like kick my feet up as I go, like, as I go, and that's like, if I see, it's so funny. If you see me in the club, you'll like see me like look up, and I'll catch a whale. Like, a whale is like what we call a client with a lot of money, and I'll be like. But if it's like a night where I don't have anyone in my eye, anyone yet, and I'm trying to catch someone's eye, I'll like, when I'm bringing my leg around, I'll like kind of keep connection with the floor on the toe of my shoe. So like my foot's kind of dragging slowly behind me, which sounds a little funny, but it's more like this like fluid, like saunter almost. Okay. So that's like a few styles of the eye walk in. Mm-hmm. I know it sounds like there's a whole science to my walk, but
it makes so much
sense. I am
sense.
In awe. Yeah. Like, you are a scientist and I am just like absorbing your research. Like, oh my God.
So, I think it is because of my background in psychology that I just love, like, watching how human behavior can be altered. Like, mm-hmm. I find that very fascinating, studying humans and noticing that if I look this way or if I move this way, like, the impact it has on my income or the impact it has on the reactions I get from people. Like, I find those little case studies I do at work very interesting. Oh. Also, like, I'm someone, like you said, like, I need to be active all the time, so I need to be, like, actively using my brain at work or I get very bored. So.
Fuck yeah. That's so awesome. We just have to practice, apparently. Yeah. But I also had a question kind of in the same like way of movement. Do you have any like powerful like standing poses that are your go-to? Like if you're just lingering or you're at a bar, you know, like how should someone stand that exudes confidence and sexiness and like a seductive power?
Yeah. Okay. So obviously, like just basic psychology, right? Crossing your arms is a closed off position, right? Uh-huh. If I'm gonna cross my arms and I'm using it as like a power position, I'll have like one arm crossed and I'll like hold like I'll hold my lip or something, or I'll like trace my lip like this, or like I'll do something like this, or I'll touch my own collarbone, which is like, it's like kind of closed off, but still like kind of like seductive. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because like totally. You don't really want to be close, and holding yourself is a sign of like you're insecure, right? So like mm-hmm. obviously that's like don't do that. Leaning is like more like a nonchalant. So like there's certain perches I sit at where I'll lean on the thing and I'll lean so like my other hip is pushed out. So you get like more of like this curve to uh-huh. you. And then you like lean and then I like have my one foot crossed over the other. So it's very much like, like if I have to be here.
I will, I guess.
So that kind of idea. Uh-huh. And then if I'm one of my power stances is there's a place in the bar where there's a railing. And I'll, like, have my hands on the railing. And the railing faces the room. So I'll put my hands on the railing. And I'll, like, hold myself up kind of on the railing and, like, lean forward. So it's, like, obviously I do have larger breasts. Yeah. So, like, it's, like, a bit of a selling feature. So I'll, like, lean forward. Uh-huh. Boobs on, pushing forward. Not, like, you know, like Jack. Or
yeah.
So slightly.
Yeah, slightly. Not face down, I guess.
just things like that. But tracing things, that's one thing I tell the individuals in my class a lot, is like knowing what your assets are and like tracing them with your hands, like drawing the eye to them. So obviously I have big lips, big boobs, big lashes, like every other 2022 girl. I will touch my lips a lot. I'll touch my lip, or I'll do that, or I'll, when I'm dancing, I'll trace my hand down through my cleavage and then underneath my boob. So look at my breasts.
Look right here. And right here. Gotta leave
them. Right, things like that. Leave you
a horse to water, right?
Exactly. Yeah. So just kind of knowing your assets and playing them up too is big.
Okay.
So much fun. I'm just in awe. I am absorbing all of it. Are there any other physical things that we should be aware of when, trying to be a seductress, trying to seduce someone?
Yeah. So there's a lot of power in touch, right? So it's funny, as a dancer, yeah, I'm in contact with people a lot, but in my personal life, I hate people touching me. I'm very close to my parents, and my parents know, they'll ask, may I hug you? They're very aware of I don't like people in my bubble, which is hilarious as a dancer. But I think maybe it's because I'm so oversaturated with people trying to touch me. But so there is power in touch. So I use it with intention. So if I'm talking to someone, if I want their attention, I want them to feel safer or comfortable with me, I'll touch their arm. As they're talking, I'll be a soft touch on their thing, or I'll lean forward to listen to them, and I'll put my hand on their on their knee or their thigh as I lean forward, just breaking that touch barrier. It does something to people where it's they feel more comfortable with you. They feel more attentive to you. I find and they're not constantly doing it. It's here and there, pepper them in, mm-hmm. touch here, a touch here. Mm-hmm. And then you go back to your own tracing and touching.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's, I don't know, something about that breaking that touch barrier, does mm-hmm. it for people.
Totally. Because then it's it takes it, I feel from, oh, we're just looking at each other, talking mm-hmm. to I'm intentionally being intimate, more intimate mm-hmm. with you. And I feel comfortable touching you. I hope you do too.
I hope this is okay.
There's a social contract, right? In society that's something we don't do is we don't touch each other, right? So to break that social contract kind of makes them go we're stepping past societal expectations mm-hmm. of two people just talking. Mm-hmm. I think that's kind of where people's brains go. And then another thing that's not physical, but a good psychological trick. And hopefully none of my clients listen to this. They'll be that bitch played me.
I'm sure they're fine with it. It's honestly, it works.
If they had any complaints, I don't know why.
Not heard them. 10 out of 10 on Yelp.
Yeah.
Is saying people's name. One, it's nice. One, remembering someone's name makes them feel good in everywhere in your life. Friends, uh-huh. family, knowing people's names, right? Makes people feel special. But dropping people's names when you want them to do something for you.
That
I sound very manipulative, and it's not manipulative. I'm just aware of how to make people feel special.
Yeah.
And if people remember, if a guy named Tom came in for a dance once, I will take note of his name, and I'll in some way remember it. For some reason, I'm really good with clients' names. You could tell me someone's husband's name, my friend's husband that I've known for 20 years. I'm like,
who is this?
I didn't give you, I don't remember them. I always joke, if they didn't pay me, I won't remember them.
That is the new motto of my entire life. If you don't pay me, I won't remember you.
It's bad, but very
true. Oh my God. I love it.
I like it.
Yeah.
But yeah, so next time I see Tom, oh, hey, Tom. Addressing my name, and then Tom, we should go for a dance, right? Or we should go for a dance, right, Tom? Mm-hmm. Saying their name, it makes them feel more connected to you. It makes them feel like there's more than just this surface level relationship. But that's with anything. Even you can take that knowledge with you in any kind of conversation you're having with someone. Or if someone's having they're needing more emotional support, I find using someone's mm-hmm. name when you're trying to emotionally support them. It offers more, I find.
It is a startle when someone uses your name. Oh, mm-hmm. am I in trouble or are you happy with me? So
either is, way, I'm turned on.
It calls attention. Yes. Definitely.
I do not hate it.
I don't hate it.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you have any eye contact types of things that you use? I'm thinking about the siren calls that you see on TikTok, using your siren eyes. Have you ever seen those TikToks? Mm-hmm. Oh, it's
siren calls. I'm thinking of a scream.
No.
Yeah.
But it's these girls will do a difference in I'm looking at you, and now I'm looking at you with my sexy eyes. So mm-hmm. do you have any eye contact tips?
I have a funny story. So just about eyes. I always say I have big eyes, right? So, and I'm I'm mixed, so like the shape of my eye is like a specific shape. But I was working at a club a little while back, and I remember seeing this guy. And like guys will say the most insane shit to you, and you're like, wow, like you really forgot I was a human. So you just said to me, like, that's wild. Like
that's wild to watch.
Like I remember, like, you know, I'm 5'4", 125. Like that's like my weight and height. So like I'm not a big girl. I'm not like super, super skinny. And guys will straight up be like, no, I want a skinnier girl. Like they'll say to me all the time, and I'll be like, whatever. But that's when thick skin comes in. It does not faze me. Uh-huh. But I remember being at I went and sat at a table, and the guy's like, I'm sorry, but like, I don't like big boobs and I don't like big eyes. I was like,
okay.
What? And I was like, okay, well, I'll find you a flat chested, beady eyed bitch.
Yeah, I'll be right back, dickhead.
Hand him a rat. This is for you.
I don't like big eyes. It'd be different if he said, you know, I like certain ethnicity eye, like, you know, if you like, I like Asian eyes because Asians have a beautiful almond shape to their eyes. Like, I totally get that. Monolid or whatever eye shape, right? Like, which is beautiful. And I totally get that's like something that you're attracted to. But to say I don't like big eyes, I just picture like very, very tiny little beady eyes.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll go get you some of the little peepers.
Little peepers. Yeah.
Snake eyes.
Up here and down there too.
Yeah. Little everywhere. And then my girlfriend was like, she's literally my like fucking life raft at work because we just laugh at everything and we get through it. But she was sitting with him and she was like pushing her chest down. She's like, squinting at him.
Squinting and pushing. I don't have to push that hard, but.
And then I was like, what the fuck was that? She's like, just let me have this.
Let me have this win.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Oh, it's so funny. But yeah, apparently. Maybe my eyes don't work for everyone. But with regards to eye contact's huge, mm-hmm. right? Definitely eye contact, just in general, people want to feel seen throughout life. I notice people think I'm intimidating. I get it all the time for some reason. And people will avoid eye contact with me. It drives me crazy. It's like, I'm not going to bite you unless you pay me to. So like, look at my fucking eye. It drives me insane. People don't look me in the eye. So I make it a point to always like look at people's eyes when they're talking to me. I also think it's like a power move because when people like avoid eye contact, it's usually because they're nervous, and I really don't get nervous very often ever. So I'm always like, I'll look right in the fucking eyes.
Looking the dick, looking the eyes, I don't care.
Yeah. So yeah, making eye contact. And then what I call it like a downcast gaze. So like if I'm like have my head up and then I'll like look up at them and then as you're looking up, you like bring your head up to like eye level. It sounds weird, but there's like, you've seen like movies and like scenes and stuff, they'll do it if you like know the move I'm talking about, that really works. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, so like there's like little mind games you can play. So it's like you want someone to like know you're watching them, but like as if you don't want them to know you're watching them. So for example, there's this guy I know, and we've had this flirtation for many years. So with him, I'll like watch him. And then when he sees me watching him, I'll, like, look a second longer and then look away as if, like, I was like, oh, shit, he caught me. But it's, like, I'm intentionally waiting for him to look at me. Like,
you're like, so, okay, like, please look over here, bitch.
Because everyone else sees. And now you have to see.
Yeah. So it's just that, right? Because then they think you're not doing intentionally, which is, like, mm-hmm. all the art of calculation, right? So mm-hmm. manipulation, is doing things with intention with people not thinking it's intention, right? Mm-hmm. It's, like, gives you the power play. So him thinking I'm looking at him, that I can't take my eyes off him, and that he caught me doing it, makes him feel like powerful in that play. It's the idea, like, and this is very true, I find, in all areas of my life, where they say men are the head, women are the neck. The saying, right? Where like they think they're the head of everything, but it's actually the women controlling
it. Oh, yeah. That makes so much sense.
Yeah.
I very love true.
Because you have all the power.
Yeah.
You'd be nothing. You just made him feel powerful because you are so powerful.
Yeah.
That's truly like, that is 90% of like heterosexual art of seduction is very mm-hmm. much like allowing the man to think he's in control when you really hold all the cards all the time. And the only control they have is if you let them have it. But that's also like the dom in me. I'm never submissive. So
never submissive.
No, the only time, and like maybe like, I don't know, 3% of the people that have encountered me in my life will ever see this side, is I can be like very like, I don't know if you guys are familiar with like BDSM or like kink and stuff, and like phrases, but like what like a bratty sub is. Mm-hmm. I'm like a very bratty sub. That's like my like my typical role in a very trusting, romantic, personal relationship that has nothing to do with work. Mm-hmm. So like that's the only time where I'll be like remotely soft. It's like I'll be like, you know, they'll be like, get on your knees. I'm like, fucking make me, bitch. And then I'll be like, well,
I thought you were going to say something so much more like sensitive. Like, you know, only 3% of the people in my life will see me like cry and be sensitive. But you're like, no, fucking make me, bitch. And that's how sensitive I get with 3% of the people.
I love that.
I fucking love it so much.
No, but it's like the next part, right? Like, yeah. I'm like a little more softer. I'm a little more cuddly. You're like, this gentleman I'm whatever with right now, I like, he calls like a chipmunk. So I'll be like, and I like do like little sounds and like nuzzle up to him. And he's like, you're such a chipmunk. I'm like, yeah, but only 3% of the world knows I have a chipmunk side. Like, no one knows. I can be very like, yeah, doming every other aspect.
That's but so 3% cute.
Get that side.
That's so cute. What advice do you have? Because I feel like my only like power move with eye contact is to not look. Like, you know, whenever
just to close my eyes.
Just walk through the world blind.
Blindfold myself.
Yeah, that's how it feels though. Like I feel like my only source of power is to make people think that I'm like unengaged. And but I like the idea of like casting power with your eyes, but I just mm-hmm. I get so I don't know if it's nervous or I just feel like I have more power by looking like I don't care.
Mm.
I don't really know how to switch out of that.
Yeah, I think there is power in being nonchalant, mm-hmm. for sure. I think men do like the chase. But I think also a lot of people don't put themselves up to be rejected. So if they're thinking that you are not really interested, a lot of people are not going to put themselves out there for that. Like, rejection doesn't feel good. Right. And men get a lot more rejected than women do, right? So if they're straight up not looking at them and not even throwing them a bone, even if they want to, they're probably not going to. Like, then this is me, like, hypothesizing because mm-hmm. I'm not a man and me and you have never been in a sexual situation together where I like going to, but that's how I would feel, I think, if I were in that position. If someone were really like, fuck this bitch, I'd be like, okay, fuck you. Yeah. But so I do think like just even giving that like 10% of attention to let them know that there is a possibility, mm-hmm. then they can like, you know, run with it. Mm-hmm. If that makes sense. But I guess like I think a lot about, and this is me like, you know, not try to be your therapist, but I think part of me would think that was more so like an insecurity, mm-hmm. right? And a fear of rejection, which I mean, everyone has. I think, you know, my industry, we have it a lot less because, you know, we're so used to it. Like, yeah, like guys being like, I like skinnier girls. I'm like, okay, cool. Mm-hmm. Or like, I like dark hair. Okay, cool. I don't like your accent. I don't like this. I don't, that's like,
okay.
Love okay. I know they'll say no to me twice, somebody will say yes. So like, it just doesn't faze me. Mm-hmm. But I think like a good, like I live by like, I have like these two rules in my life that I've like always lived by. One is to be unapologetically yourself. Like I just like, as long as you're a good person, like I know I have a good heart and I know I truly try not to do harm to other people. So I should be able to be unapologetic myself because I love what I am bringing to the table and I don't need to apologize for what I do for work or like, you know, any of that stuff. And then the other one is a life, I'd rather have a life of oh wells than what ifs. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of people live in this area where like, I don't want to even put myself out there, but then they live afterwards thinking like, fuck, what if I had just done it? You know? So like that idea of like that fear of like, oh, I want to make eye contact. Like, okay, so if they don't come back and like you back or they don't hit on you again, oh well, mm-hmm. like what's the worst that happens? This is just another human with their own insecurities and their own issues. You know, they're not some godsend. Mm-hmm. But maybe that could have been some, you know, fantasy meet and like the love of your life. You know, what if you had just given that eye glance or what if you had put yourself out there? Mm-hmm. And I get it. Rejection like doesn't feel good, especially if it's like, at least when I'm getting rejected, I'm making money. Like, yeah.
Still have some cash attached to it. Yeah.
Exactly. Right. At least I'm like, I'm increasing my income. At, like, But yeah, I think like, and I know that's easier said than done for a lot of people to operate in that world of like, rather like, oh, well, than what if. But right. I think once you start to like continually practice that, you get a lot better at it.
Yeah. And it makes a lot of sense. It's like you wouldn't approach someone who you thought 100% was not even remotely looking your direction. And I even said that to a friend one time, like 2 years ago. I'm like, well, you have to actually like interact to make him think that you're interested in interacting. And I just forget when it comes to like, myself. And don't. Look at me.
You have to do that.
Yeah, I don't. You do.
You should take my advice.
It would be great for you. Honestly, I'm fine.
I'm doing great.
I'm doing great by myself. I don't need anyone. Thank you. No, that makes a lot of sense, yeah. though. And yes, it is insecurity. So you hit that nail on the head.
It's a lot of schooling, trust me. Too much schooling. Just to diagnose everyone else.
It makes sense. Everything you're saying makes so much sense and clicks so well. Can we go a little bit more into like the emotional and mental sides of seduction then? Because I feel like we're starting to approach that. So how, like, what are your the major tenets of that?
Pillars.
That one's, I think, a little more complicated because what turns people on mentally, not on a physical aspect, like not doing something physical to turn on mentally, to actually just connect someone mentally, I think it's so personalized. What works for me is, like, I have a very dry sense of humor. I'm very sarcastic, right? Like, I can't even fake not being a cunt. Like,
No, we love that word.
That's our favorite word.
You hate that word?
That's our favorite word.
Okay. Yeah. I'm like a huge cunt. I'm not really. I'm actually very nice. But my persona is very like fake cunty, sarcastic, whatever. And once you, and I'm like, and I, men comment on them that I have a lot, I'm quite witty. So like, I think once I break that barrier and they're like, oh shit, she's like, she's pretty smart and she's funny. Like, that turns people on, right? Like, banter is huge, at least for me. Like, if someone can banter back and forth with me and like throw it back, like, fuck this, I'm here for it. Like, love it, love this for us. Yeah.
How do you balance that? I know Emma and I both have this issue of like, we'll start with banter and then we get mean. And I do think that comes from a place of insecurity. But it's definitely something like we've had to check in about with each other and be like, okay, this is a new guy. Like, tell me if I'm being too mean. So like, how do you,
your bald spot showing? Like, I'm flirting, but
he doesn't know that. Like, do you have a general rule for like a line of when it's too mean?
Too cunty?
No, guilty as charged for sure. I think I probably get a little more slack because my boobs are out. So like, they're like, she can be as mean as she wants. Titties.
Founder, I need to work on that.
Her solution.
Yeah.
Yeah, you just got to take off your top and everything. No.
Not wrong.
If I just get too mean, I'm just going to flash people. I was kidding.
That was a joke.
Never for free. Never for free. We do not show boobs for free here.
That's a good
You're funny.
Pay me and then I'm going to apologize for being too mean.
No, I am. I'm very guilty of that. I can take it too far sometimes where I like keep like berating them and then, but that comes into like reading human cues and behaviors, right? Like, there are certain ways, if you see someone's face drop, like, which is like a telltale sign, if you're watching, if you're giving eye contact, if you're watching their body language, you can pick up tiny little idiosyncrasies of people that they don't like what you just said. So like, their like shoulders might shift, or their weight might shift, or their face drops a tiny bit, or their eyes, like, some people will squint their eyes a tiny bit. I do it as like a purposeful sign to someone if they're treading, like, to tread lightly. Like, if someone's like, I don't like it, I'll just like the people that know me know it's a sign. I'll just squint my eyes a little smaller, and it's like almost like, watch yourself. Like, you're in this.
Very.
Only my guy friends especially would be like, oh, okay.
I'm sorry.
Barely escaped there with your life. So
Yes. But so those things, reading people's behavior, right? Obviously, like, this common sense thing that you shouldn't joke about. Like, if you know someone, you know, has weight issues, or they are insecure about other things. Like, things should be like playful. You know, you shouldn't be like attacking people, things that, you know, people are insecure about. Because like, realistically, we're all insecure. As like confident eyes as I am at my work and that, there are insecurities that like can get triggered and stuff, and like, obviously there, you should be coming from a place of like being playful, and then there's no harm in, or what you should do is, at least in my opinion, if you say something and I notice someone's face drop or I notice that change, I will check myself and I'll say, fuck, sorry, that was maybe too far, I apologize, like, I didn't mean that, or like, I'm sorry if that was inappropriate. Like, I have no problem like self-regulating that when I notice it. And even like with a guy friend of mine, I was like bugging him about the kind of girls he dates or something. And I was like, you love a mess. You love to clean up, like blah, blah, blah. Like, you know, and then he was like, oh yeah, we were joking about it. And then I made a comment like, fuck, like, I don't think any of my girlfriends would date you. Cause like, I can't see any of my, like, I have a sex worker book club. And I was like, I can't see any of my book club girls dating you. Like, you would never be able to date someone like a fully functioning adult. And I was like, what a fucking mean thing to say. Like, what a terrible thing to say to someone that no one with, like, any company would ever want you. Like,
no.
I'm like, damn.
No one with a fully functioning brain.
I mean, where was the lie? I still did not need to be said. Terrible thing to say. And I was like, damn, that was really mean. And I saw him be like, Like, it was just, like, his, like, face is kind of like, fuck me. So I texted him afterwards. I was like, hey, you know what? Like, that comment about that, like, you know, I think you're an amazing person. We've been friends for X amount of years. Like, that was inappropriate. I shouldn't have said that. Like, that was below the belt. And I don't think those things. I'm like, you know, like, yeah, damage can be done by a joke. But there's also, there's something to be said for, like, acknowledging before someone tests. Someone should have to tell you they hurt you, you hurt them. Mm-hmm. Like, you should be able to be somewhat self-aware of, like, you know. But yeah, but when you're getting to know someone, you don't really know that line. And especially if you're texting them, because I am very sarcastic over text. Mm-hmm. And one of the things I like, I mean, I don't online date or anything, right? But if I meet someone and we're texting, one of the first things I say to them is like, I got to warn you, I'm really dry humor and it does not translate well over text. Like, assuming everything I say is joking. And then I also have like a disclaimer too. Like, if I'm cunty to you, I like you. If I'm nice to you, I think you're cool. Like, it's just like something about me. Like, if I'm really nice to you, I probably think you're too dumb to get my humor. Mm-hmm. So like, that's a sign I don't really like you. If I'm mean, I like you.
Mm-hmm. Make it a compliment. Yeah. Make them want it.
So I don't know if I really helped you there, but I do think there's like,
no, you totally like, did.
Absolutely. And taking accountability for when you cross the line, it's not like a weakness, I guess. And it's not embarrassing to take accountability for when you've hurt someone's feelings. And I think it can actually really get you back on track to like turning someone back onto your personality when you're tuned in.
I think it like demonstrates confidence if you're willing to say that you were wrong, which is really attractive. And then also I think like it does build up your relationship even further than where it was before.
Yeah.
Which is cool.
Because there's nothing more icky than getting your feelings hurt and the person that hurt them is like, what? You can't take a joke? And then you're like, oh, fuck you.
You like, double down.
Yeah.
Like, they double down on it. Yeah.
Yeah. When they double down, that's like such an ick. And it's so embarrassing and like cringy.
Yeah. Yeah. And even if like you didn't hurt their feelings, say like you read it wrong and they didn't even think about it the next day and you messaged them, like, even if they're like, oh, fuck, I didn't even think about it. You're like, oh, I think I just want to check in. Like, what that's telling them is, like, you are somewhat self-aware and you genuinely care about how they feel, right? So, like, I don't think anything negative about it. And if someone was, like, negative or weird about that, then it's like, is that really someone you want in your life who's that immature? They can't, like, have, like, an actual serious conversation where it's like, let's check in real quick.
Yeah.
But I'm in my 30s, right? Like, I'm not 19, so. Very true. I mean, I'm 21.
You're 21. 21 across the board. Like, yeah, I'm trying. So humor, were you going to say something? Sorry. So humor is something you can pick up on when you're trying to be like emotionally, mentally seductive. Are there other things, because I know you're saying it gets really like intricate with a certain person, but are there other things you can pick up on with that person that you could be like, oh, I can use this piece of knowledge about them to like emotionally entice them or seduce them? Like what other things are you picking up on?
I guess it depends like if you're trying to get them to like fall in love or like or whatever you want to call it with like what you're putting out there or if you want them to feel like you are valuing what they're putting out there. I think those are two very different things, right? Mm-hmm. And for men I find men are very like egocentric. I find like they're very much about themselves, right? That's why I date a lot of women.
Amen.
Well, that comes with its own issues, trust me. It's a lot. It is a lot. I remember reading a study one time and people were listing the top like qualities they wanted in a partner and both sexes, it was like a very like heterosexual study. So male identifying cis males, cis females, whatever. And both top of the list were, they wanted a partner to be funny. But the definition of funny for the women was they wanted someone who can make them laugh. When they say, I want a funny person, it's I want someone who can make me laugh. When men said, I want a funny person, I want someone who laughs at my jokes.
Ugh.
I hate men.
That's so true. I see that on Bumble all the time. Mm-hmm. People that'll think my dad jokes are funny. Like people that'll laugh at my jokes and like think my stupid humor is funny. And it's like, oh, that's so true. They're all rooted in their own fucking badass bad jokes. Not badass jokes.
They're not badass.
They're not badass. They're just terrible jokes.
Yeah. But it's interesting to like note that that's how like men view, I find like a lot of men view partners as like what they are getting from the partner. Mm-hmm. If that makes sense, like how they're benefiting from that relationship. As a woman are like more like, how can we make them want us? How can we like what we're offering them, I think, a lot of the time for the stereotypical heterosexual male-female relationship. Yeah. Listening is easy. It's an easy one. Like being attentive when someone talks to you. Making them feel like a safe space. Like that's something I say on the podcast a lot. And the podcast, I really, really want it to be a safe space for people to talk and to learn. So carrying that kind of ideology into my personal relationships, like having people feel safe to talk to me about things, even clients at the club, acknowledging what they're saying. The ability to paraphrase is huge. Mm-hmm. Like knowing how to paraphrase concisely really helps. It's pretty much just what therapists do. Therapists just paraphrase back to you constantly to make you feel like you're valued and blah, blah, blah. And then you get good money and it's all happy. But so we also do that when like people talk to you and you're like, oh, I totally understand that you feel that X, Y, Z because of X, Y, Z. Like concisely paraphrasing what they told you acknowledges that you fully listened to them and people love to feel listened and valued. And I think that's like a really good way. Just like in life in general, friends, family, like everyone, they don't feel like then you're talking at them. They're talking more with them than at them. Mm-hmm. I think people like that a lot. People like to be seen. And that's one of the things, like, people are so shocked when they ask me, like, you know, what their idea or their view of the club is and what happened in the club. Like, last night, out of my dances, 17 of them yesterday and 20-something of them on Friday were me sitting talking to someone upstairs. Like I did not take my boobs out. I did not get up off my seat. Like I literally sat across them like a therapist would and talked to them. And like 17 songs and 20 songs. Yeah, they're like, you know, hour and a half almost of just sitting and talking, right? So people like really don't understand how much value there is in feeling seen and valued and cared about and listened to. And I think once you kind of like have that rapport with someone or that kind of baseline that you generally give a fuck about what they're saying, people start trying to like bring those walls down more. And that's when you start to get that more of like emotional, mental connection with someone. Mm-hmm. And that's in and outside the club too, right? Like that's why you choose the friends you choose. That's why you're closer to the family members you're closer to. Like I think people have a very basic human need of feeling wanted and seen and heard. And I mean, if you can provide that for someone, I think it can be a really beautiful thing.
Here's that 3%.
That was very beautiful. Yeah.
That's so true, though.
You're all like,
thank you. Thank you.
Hey, now you're loving me.
Exactly. Us and all of our listeners.
Yeah, seriously.
Is there anything that we didn't touch on, like any major, like, seductive pieces or just any general PSAs that you want to give before we finish up?
Seductive pieces. Yeah, the confidence is the biggest thing. Just being confident in what you have to offer, not taking rejection personally. I listened to a podcast called You Up, which I love. Yes. And Jared Fried.
I'm sure he would.
I tried. He's a good Jewish man. I love a Jewish man. But they talk on the podcast about this idea with regards to dating. That people at times go into a date hoping that the person likes them rather than wondering if they even like the person. And I think like once you kind of turn that mentality around, you're like, oh yeah, fuck. Like, instead of trying to like constantly like make people want you, it's like, do I want these people? Like, what are they bringing to me? And there's another, I'm big on saying it's quotes. And there's one quote that I absolutely have always loved. It's like, I know what I bring to the table, so I'm not afraid to eat alone. And I think it's very, very true. Like, not to toot my own horn, but I know I'm a very well-rounded person. So like, I'm not lacking something in my life that someone else needs to bring in. Mm-hmm. So I'm okay with the no's, I'm okay with the single time. I'm okay with like doing me for a bit. Mm-hmm. And I think society, a lot of the time we put this pressure on people that to be successful, you have to have a partner, you're getting married or you're having kids. And these are these landmarks of success in life. Mm-hmm. And I think that's just so outdated nowadays. Mm-hmm. But you know, you can be wholly good on your own. Mm-hmm. I think we forget that sometimes.
I love that saying too. I'm going to write it somewhere.
Well, and you just transitioned us perfectly because that's an episode we have coming out in the next couple of weeks. So about embracing singleness. So you just knew. You're a little psychic.
Yeah. Other than that, just like respect your sex workers. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, we're all just basic humans and it's, we're providing a very real needed service, right? Like mm-hmm. not even the sexual aspect, but the providing safe spaces for people. Exactly. And especially in the kink community, like the amount of people in the kink community who just want to explore kinks in a safe way. Another saying I'm big on is like, I don't yuck someone's yum as long as it's between consenting adults. That's my two stipulations. Mm-hmm. Everyone has to be consenting. Everyone has to be of legal age. Mm-hmm. Other than that, do whatever the fuck you want, whatever holes you want, whatever toys you want, whatever video cameras you want. I don't give a fuck. You know, whatever food products you want to use. Whatever feces.
It's out there.
It's that's big. But just like there needs to be a change with the way mm-hmm. people see sex mm-hmm. workers and the lack of workers' rights we have, the lack of protection we have in the communities as a marginalized community. We're very ostracized and very targeted. And especially when you start talking about trans or people of color in the sex work community, it's very sad. Luckily, I'm very white passing, so I am a very privileged sex worker. So I know I speak from a place of privilege. There doesn't need to be a lot more done, especially legally wise, to protect sex workers. But even just the basic level of societally acknowledging that we're just literally basic human beings and deserve basic human rights and human and working rights. But
are there any things that we and our listeners can do to help support sex workers?
Yes, join the Patreon. other than that, like when you're like basically like when you're going to the club, if you're not there to spend any money, don't go to strip club. Like, because we don't get paid to be there, right? We pay to be there. We pay a floor fee. So we are in a deficit the minute you walk in the door. So if you're not there to provide for any of the dancers, then why are you going to a club where that is the purpose of that club? If you're mm-hmm. just there to watch free entertainment, go to a movie, you know, go to a bar and talk to people for free. If you don't like dances, which, I mean, some people do not like physical contact or they don't want lap dances for whatever reason, that's fine. Then you need to at least be, like, tipping the stage performers because you are getting a show. Mm-hmm. If you have no intention of spending any money, then yeah, just go to a regular bar because you are costing us money in a sense because you're taking up a seat of someone who would be spending money. Because mm-hmm. Just like, you know, the idea of like you wouldn't go to a busy restaurant and sit at a table and not order a thing and then get mad when they get mad at you about it, right? So people have a real issue seeing dancing and stripping and sex work as a real job. But when you start to put in those kind of terms, like, oh yeah, that would be fucking weird. Someone sat at a busy restaurant, took up a table. Mm-hmm. It is inconsiderate for people that are trying to pay their bills. Things like that. Don't make stupid remarks like, oh my God, you're too pretty to be here. You're too smart to be here. Whenever people say that to me, I'm like, oh, do you want me to find you an ugly dumb bitch?
Yeah.
I'm confused what you want then. Like,
yeah.
Like that. It's fucking weird. Obviously, you're respecting boundaries when you're in a strip club. Don't slap asses. Don't grab boobs. Ask for consent for things. We are humans. You know, we do feel things. We have, you know, emotional, you know, needs. The biggest thing is tipping and showing respect in that way. It's huge. And then even just like the little things like outside the strip club, when you're talking to friends and they make those comments about dead hooker jokes or stripper jokes or like, I don't want my daughter on the pole or if I fail this class, I'm going to become a stripper. Like as if stripping is this metric for failure in our society. It sounds silly, but even one person being like, that's kind of unnecessary, or that's kind of a stupid joke, or actually, I met a stripper and she was fucking dope. Like, even just that little phrase, like, calling someone out for that, like, you don't know where that could go, right? Like, maybe you say to that person the next time they stop saying that, or they think twice next time they say it. It's kind of that, like, just that very basic acknowledgement, like, why are we still making these jokes? Mm-hmm. It's the same way if you heard someone say, like, a racial slur, I would hope you would call them the fuck out knowing you're right to do so and that they're completely and wholly wrong in doing what they're doing. So I would like to see that kind of like seriousness taken with the insults, because there are, you know, not getting to all stuff, but there are very real ramifications when we continually, those little tiny jokes that sex workers are not equal, and then we wonder why there's so much crime against sex workers. You've spent eons or years telling sex workers they ain't shit, and then they get treated like shit. You know what I mean? Like, it's just common sense, right? So changing that narrative, however slowly it happens, is, I would love to see it, for sure.
Thank you so much for dedicating time to that portion too. I think that's so important. So thank you for touching on it.
Yeah. And if any of our daughters can be an eighth of how amazing you are, I think the world would be a much better fucking place. So I think we should all hope that our daughters are like you.
That's very
sweet. For fuck's sake. Where can our listeners continue to connect with you after this episode?
Yeah, I'm on Instagram at 50 plus a tip. So 50 plus a tip. Email 50plustip@gmail.com. And then I do have the Patreon, which is 50 plus tip as well. So there's different tiers. There's behind the scenes stuff and recordings and videos and all that good stuff and message boards and that, which is a good little community on there. So yeah, you can get on there as well.
Have you had anything to eat? Are you hungry? Are you hungry?
For this dick?
And then follow it up with that, and it's the best joke you've ever told.
And there you go. Bada bing, bada boom. You're a comedian.
You're a comedian and a seductress.
Speaking of seductresses,
thank you, Danica, for being here today and lending us some of your precious time. It was amazing. Thank you to our listeners also for being here.
You're welcome to our listeners.
And
you're
for that one, welcome.
You're welcome. Mm-hmm. Danica graced us all with her presence and time. And she could be
lecturing somewhere or dancing or
getting money thrown at her.
Shmoney.
Shmoney. You don't have to throw money at us, but you could throw reviews at us if you want to head on over to Apple Podcasts, rate, review, and subscribe. Leave a written review. Leave a shooting star.
Yeah. Is there a cha-cha girl? Do a cha-cha girl too.
Ooh, yeah. Or a dancer.
Are there heels? We talked about heels.
There's a
in
heel
this episode. Mm-hmm. We could do that.
Not nearly as tall as hers.
Nearly as tall as Danica's, which you can see on the YouTube. That'll be up soon, if not already. And those were great.
Yeah,
amazing. Thanks. Well, I guess we will talk to you later.
Gator.
Later, Gator. Later, Gator Skater.
Did you ever read those books?
Later, Gator.
There was TTYL and TTFN.
No.
Also, who said TTFN?
Ta-ta for now.
Tigger.
Oh, really?
That was from Winnie the Pooh. I was like, what 13-year-old bitch thought that up?
Ta-ta for now. Who are you? That was actually a tiger named Tigger. Hmm. His friend was a bear.
Ah, named Pooh Pooh.
Named Pooh Pooh. What is Piglet?
Piglet's a pig.
Piglet's a pig.
Kanga's a roo.
Kanga's a roo. Rabbit's a bit.
And Christopher's
Robin.
Tweet, tweet. See you next week.
Next week.